Just kind of praying lately about some different things, and tonight, the Lord, you know, because there's just all kinds of junk going on in the world, but you know, one thing I was praying and just meditating is, and I just sensed the Lord was just wanting me to talk about faithfulness tonight, His faithfulness. And it's so easy to get cynical about what's going on in the world, and I think it's very vital that we get focused on Him. Amen? Just really get focused on the Lord and His faithfulness. And, amen. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And you know, one thing we need to think about is, have you ever, while you're turning there, just some things to think about. Have you ever stopped to think about the faithfulness of God? Just think about it, right? Now, we're so, and I would say this sometimes, we're so focused on what we need, what we're believing for, God, everything that's going on wrong in the world, you know, that we don't stop to think about His faithfulness to us. Now, I'm reading out the Amplified, and the reason I'm reading out the Amplified is because there's a translation, in this translation I like. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Mr. Gary and Bobby Baker talked about here recently, right? Fruits of the Spirit. Banana, nana, nana. Remember that? I like that one. Okay. So, banana, nana, nana, and all these other things we talked about. The fruits of the Spirit, they are byproducts, or what they are. They are make up what the Holy Spirit, God is, His character. Verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, or we can say the work which His presence within accomplishes is, that means wherever God shows up, these things follow, right? Love, joy, or we can call gladness, peace. We need a lot of peace, don't we? We need patience, and even temper. I know some people, we could use some even tempers, couldn't we? Forbearance, kindness, goodness, or benevolence. Now, here's the word I want to get to tonight is faithfulness. Now, in the King James, it says faith, which is good. But I like this because it describes God's faithfulness. Gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint. Against such, there is no law that can bring a charge, right? So, one of the things that God is, He's faithful. The Holy Spirit, He is faithful. When I looked up faithfulness, and the Amplified uses the word faithfulness, but when I looked it up, it's faithfulness is the concept of unfailing, remaining, loyal to someone or something, and putting that loyalty into consistent practice regardless of extenuating circumstances, right? Literally, it is the state of being full of faith in the sense of steady devotion to a person, thing, or concept. And it's focused on what? Being completely sold out to a person what is something or someone, right? That's faithfulness. No matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances, I'm sticking with this person, I'm sticking with this cause, I'm sticking with this thing, no matter what. Now, here's something else, too, before we get into some of the things. Can you be faithful and not loyal? Can you be faithful and not loyal? Now, by loyalty implies staying with someone regardless of your behavior or other persons, no matter what. Now, so you can be loyal to each other but not faithful, right? You know, we always see sometimes where people, well, we're just going to stay together because of the kids. Well, you're loyal, but you're not faithful, right? And so you're not committed to the other person because of a covenant or anything else. You're just being loyal at that point because it's convenient. That's not faithfulness, is it? Not at all. So, you know, again, we know, I always like to, you know, especially when we're in, you know, when you get out of bed, we all like the comfort thing, right? What do you do? Like, you try on shoes. What's the first thing? Ooh, those are they comfortable? Right? That's the first thing. That, you know, you try on shoes. What's the person or man or woman that's helping you out? And well, walk around them. What do they say? How do they feel? Right? when you're trying on clothes, how does that feel? Does that feel good? Does that? And there's nothing wrong with feelings. We're not discounting feelings. But we as humans, we are moved towards comfort, stability, and predictability, don't we? Right? So whenever we wake up, we go through certain routines. Now, what would you like it if you got up every morning and you had to hunt the shower down? Right? Where's the shower at again? Or somebody moved the shower on me. No, we like to have predictability, don't we? We say that, oh, I want all this flair and all this new stuff. No, we want to make sure something's there. So, for example, when we wake up in the morning, we want to make sure our clothes are still there, right? Maybe our jewelry is still there. Our toys are still there. You don't want to wake up some morning and I've known people, they're like, come back and everything in their house is gone, right? The other person, somebody else living there is just like, oh, I'm just going to take everything in the house. We want stability. We want things that are, when we wake up, that's part of our human nature. We want to know that, all right, when we wake up in the morning, the sun's going to rise. You know, this is going to happen. It's going to set at the end of the day. Or we had to search for the kitchen. Now, where's the kitchen at again? Somebody moved the kitchen on me. Or every time you open up, you're ready to make breakfast in the morning, and it's like, oh, somebody took all the eggs. There's no milk. There's no toast. There's no, like Mr. Dwight would say, bacon. He's Mr. Bacon guy, right? So all these things. We want stability. Now, on the other hand, have you ever heard of the movie Groundhog Day? You know, where Bill Murray plays a guy, and every day is the exact same thing, right? Wakes up, everything's the exact same thing. No, we want variety in flavor, but God, in some relationships, many people, have, like I said earlier, they'll get up and, everything's gone and it's unpredictable. So we like to have things comfortable, often predictable, and we know where things are at. We like to have routine. We've got a dog, and she likes routine, right? I get up in the morning, and I go outside. I come back in. I get something to eat. I get a drink, right? And I go run around, and I go check all the bedrooms and make sure where everybody's at, right? That's her routine every day. Now, many people who are not faithful will not care about, for example, we're talking about God's faithfulness. He's always there, isn't he? He's always there. A lot of people, they don't think he's there. And we'll talk about some of those reasons why. But again, some people cannot imagine or fathom that God is faithful, even though the Bible tells us, right? Why do they think that God is not faithful? Well, we often view God through the lens of people we know, right? So often we are always, especially, the father figure, we're judging God by people we know around us rather than what the Bible says. Again, if your parents never provided for you and you always had to struggle, it may be a challenge for you to believe God, right? So we're always going to view God through our experiences often and judge him whether he's faithful or not. Faithfulness is a characteristic of the Holy Spirit. The devil is not faithful, is he? The world system is not faithful at all. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And while you're turning there, again, many people who are not faithful will not care about their reputation, what they put their family through, the effects on others, right? One aspect of God, the reason why the Lord is faithful, is because if he was not faithful, or people who are not faithful, there's consequences, right? Anytime we're not faithful, there's consequences. But because God is always love, he's always faithful, and there's never any negative consequences as a result. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will what? Never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, one aspect of faithfulness is important here in this scripture is being content. People in relationships are often looking because they're not content and they submit to the enemy, right? People who are not faithful, often it's a content issue, isn't it? They're not content. They're not happy with themselves. Turn to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. So, and this is hard for us sometimes to understand, is that God is content with you. And I don't mean that, but he's happy with you. Now, we sin, we fall, we make mistakes. Of course, he's not pleased with that. But my point is this. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a high value on us, and sometimes we don't have a high value on ourselves. So then, therefore, we miss the mark, and we're not seeing, we can't imagine God being faithful to us because we don't put value on ourselves. And people who are not faithful or they're always flying around, it's because one of the reasons is they're not content. Why are they not content with things? Because they don't see value in it. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1, and this is the King James, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine not be blasphemed. Verse 2, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Right, we're getting into the good stuff here. And if any man teach, well, it's all good, but we're getting to the main point here. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, dotting about questions of strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Perverse disputings among men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, for such withdraw thyself. Here we go. But godliness, when contentment, is great gain. For we ought brought nothing into the world, and that is certain that we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith, what? Content. Now, again, what is in this scripture, we're seeing a lot of things, is contentment. We're not content. Then what happens? Then we want to move. We want change. We want something different. And there's nothing wrong. Sometimes we're moved to desire more things of God, right? There are things where there's a hunger level where we want more, and even a life where we're wanting to strive for more, and there's nothing wrong with ambition. But often the devil will bring in discontentment to get us unhappy, not thankful, not faithful to where we're at, and get us to move. Many people haven't seen contentment, which breeds insecurity. Whenever we're not content, we're going to see insecurity that creates unfaithful people, which affects how we view people and the Lord. Right? Because what's another thing? What happens is when we're discontent, we see it in the Bible, people will what? Start blaming God, right? Well, this isn't good enough. I'm discontent. So, you know, God promised me that I would be happy and wonderful and everything's, you know, great and I wouldn't have any problems. Well, again, unfaithful people are not happy, satisfied, or even stable. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Can you imagine all the stuff God's seen over just throughout mankind, and he's still faithful to mankind. He still loves God. He still loves people. You know, just coming back from Noah's Ark, it just blows my mind how enormous this boat was. This ark was just mammoth, and how much engineering went into, you know, the waste removal and the ventilation in that thing, and how, you know, how the water would flow down and they get it to the animals, and how much time and engineering went into that. Because we always think, you know, the little storybooks of, you know, Noah's on the ark with all the little happy animals hanging out the ark, and they're just bobbing around there. But there's so much that went into that, that the design of the ark, that we, of course, we don't see anything in the Bible other than just it was what kind of wood it was made out of and some dimensions. But we don't see what happened for God to deliver Noah and his family and all of the animals successfully on the other side. God's faithful. And what is one of the things that, because we see there in Genesis where it says that Noah was what? Found. You'll look at the Hall of Faith through Hebrews chapter 11. What was it? He was faithful. She was faithful. They were faithful. They were faithful. Full of faith. Faithful. Noah was faithful and just and righteous in God's eyes. Why? Because he was faithful. He wasn't born again. He didn't have the Spirit of God upon him. None of that happened. Why was it? Because God found him faithful, and therefore he was righteous. What is faithful? True to the cause. Continuing to do what, you know, always there. That's what pleases God a lot. And that's one of his characteristics, is faithfulness. But we see people through the Old Testament, I always scratch my head and go, well, why did this person find favor with God, or this person, or, you know, this woman or this man find favor with God? Is because they were faithful. When David stood in front of Goliath, he was faithful. What was he faithful? He was faithful to the cause, to say that this Philistine, this worldly heathen, is not going to badmouth my God. He's not going to intimidate us. God is behind us. God is faithful. If I step out, God will back me up of all heaven, and we're going to win this thing. And you know what? God was pleased with that. He was pleased with someone taking the reins and being faithful to what was given to him. And God is faithful to us. God is faithful to you. He forgave us, right? And this is something else too. We are good enough because of God's blood. I remember an old skit, you know, the guy look in the mirror and go, I'm smart enough, I'm good enough, and people like me. We can look in the mirror tonight and go, you know what? I'm smart enough, I'm good enough, and Jesus likes me, right? The love factor and understanding that he is faithful, it disqualifies a lot of people from experiencing what God has for us. Amen? He will never leave us and will never forsake us. That's what the word says. We just read that earlier. And the old and one of the reasons we're going to get off, and we can get off on this road of not experiencing the fullness of God sometimes, or experiencing his fullness, is the enemy and Satan is going to sow discontent into our lives, and that will breed insecurity, right? Because what's really the, again, we go back to the Garden of Eden. What are some things that Satan, or the serpent, spoke to Eve, which therefore went on to Adam, was what? Is that really what God said? You know, I mean, he was getting them to question God's will, God's integrity, and God's faithfulness. They began to question that. They were like, maybe not. Maybe there are some things here that I'm going to see, and my eyes will be open, and I'll be enlightened just like God. Well, they're already just like God because he said he made them in his image, right? So they already had that. They were clothed with the glory of God. Everything, the presence and the glory of God. And when they sinned, they felt naked because that glory lifted from them. So again, the devil is always, always, always trying to get us to be discontent. This is wrong, that's wrong. And it doesn't mean there aren't times for us to stand up and to do things, right? And again, over time, we've seen people that haven't been, you know, faithful to us. Everybody, we've all experienced some kind of disillusion or disappointment or disheartening. But there actually is somebody that is faithful no matter what, that is actually focused on you, and that is the Lord. Again, we see that politicians aren't faithful people. They'll change their minds, the political winds. You know, you ever see in the news or something, this politician is great, and all of a sudden something comes out, and then they're just garbage now, and everybody turns. That's politics. Politics is never, there's no faithfulness in politics, right? Unless you're going to do something for me and you're going to help me, And again, your favor changes with political opinion and everything else. There's none of that with God, right? Nothing like that with God. What does God's faithfulness mean? It means he will help us whenever we need him. He's going to help you with any insecurity you're dealing with, right? He will be with you even when you made mistakes. Right? How many people in the media or anything else too where you can see where they messed up or something went wrong, and then all of a sudden they just fall out of, you know, nobody wants anything to do with them. Now, you know what? That's where God shines, is when we mess up. Now, he doesn't want us to mess up. He doesn't want us to fall into sin. But I'll read here in 1 John. I'd like to read it. 1 John chapter 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. There's that faithfulness again there, right? And just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we miss the mark, he's faithful to correct it for us, isn't he? See, our flesh, when we miss the mark, our flesh, we want to run away from God, right? Just like Adam and Eve. Why? Because sin and shame. It doesn't mean God's running from us. It's that our hearts are condemning us, and we're like, so many people over the years, they fall into sin, and what happens when they fall into sin or they mess up, they never come back to church. That is the last thing you want to do. And I have so many people, there's just so many hypocrites at church. No, we know we're messed up. We know that we're imperfect. We know that we only God can fix us. That's why we're here. And that's why God wants people to come into his house, because there would be a safe haven for people to come and to get things right with him and for him to forgive us and to cleanse us, like we just read there in 1 John. The last thing we want to do is run away from God, because he's faithful. It all comes back to like the prodigal son, you know? He messed up, he left, he's in the pig pen eating corn cobs and all the slop that the pigs are eating. He's like, wait a minute here, this is craziness. The problem is too many Christians or former Christians stay there. What was the thing that drew him back? Was his father's faithfulness. He knew that, hey, my dad's going to accept me back. What happened was the insecurity caused pause there, didn't it? Well, maybe I could go back, but I'll... He'll give me a job like a servant and I'll do it. No, that's not God at all. When he came back, what did he do? Killed the fatted calf, put a robe on him, you know, had a big feast, and everything was wonderful, right? Now, did he make a mistake? Yeah, but the forgiveness. The 1 John 1:9 kicked into effect there, and he was forgiven. Why? Because the Father was faithful. God is faithful to us today. He's going to fix our mistakes. He'll forgive us of our sins. We just read that. He's going to love us unconditionally. It is so hard for people now to understand that there is a God that loves us no matter what. Now, does he agree with us? Does he agree with our actions? And, you know, some people, that they're never going to repent. They're never going to come back to God. Yes, there's an unfortunate, future ahead for them of hell and the lake of fire. But God still loves them. And I remember reading one, sometimes I'll lay there at night and I'll pull up Mary Baxter's, she's the one that wrote the about heaven and hell, divine revelation of heaven and divine revelation of hell. And she'll talk about heaven and she'll talk about hell and she'll talk about these other things and how much, you know, God loves us. And her talking about being there with Jesus in hell, Jesus weeping over people in hell. His heart breaks for people in hell. His heart breaks for those people that are headed for that. I don't believe it's going to be a day where God's going to be like, oh, I can't wait to just throw you dirty, lousy sinner. No, it's going to be very heartbreaking. And I remember the Lord, I don't know if it was Jesse Duplantis or who talking about on that day, the Lord told him, he's like, no, it's not going to be your tears that are going to be wiped away. It's going to be mine that day. No more tears. It's going to be my tears that are going to stop. So, again, our concept, especially the world's concept of the Lord, is so warped. He's very tenderhearted, and he loves people. He loves us unconditionally. He will provide for us. He's a good father. He will send loving people our way and also the church. Amazing how many people, you know, it's funny that I saw it just this week too, talking about this cartoon, and this guy's like, "Lord, send me help." And this boat pulls up next to him. He's in this ocean, and the guy's like, "Give me your hand." "No, I'm waiting for the Lord to save me." Okay. And then along comes, you know, an island there, and he "No, I want the Lord to save me." Right? God is sending people our way. Amen. He loves us. He cares about us. I thank God for people in my past that have been along to help me. He's going to bring us peace. Here's one thing, too. He brings us correction. Brings us correction. This is where, you know, a loving father, somebody that's faithful to us, is going to be. I remember one time I was with a friend. I think it was a Raymer or something. And I was eating, and I had like something on my face. Like, I went to class like that, and I had like mayonnaise or something on my face. And I felt like an idiot. And then somebody else was like, "Hey, Brent, you got some mayonnaise on your face." I'm like, "Oh, thanks." I look in the mirror, and there's like mayonnaise there. I am so glad that they brought me correction. You know, I could not see my face until I went to the bathroom. I'm like, "Oh, that doesn't look good at all. That's terrible." So I'd wipe off some mayonnaise off my face after I got back from lunch. We want correction. God is going to correct us, not because he's mean or he's terrible. You know, in this world, in this day and age, anything correctiveness or anything to try to correct us, we think that it's bad or evil, or they're just, you know, they're mean-hearted or mean-spirited. The Lord will correct me on a lot of things, you know. "Hey, you need to do this. Hey, you need to do this." Why? Because he loves me, and he wants me to grow and develop, and he's faithful. Even when I have all of my inabilities and shortfallings, he still loves me, and he's always faithful. And he's always, always going to be there for us. Let's look at, as we close here, John 3:16. Man, I love this scripture. John 3:16. How many of the kids, anybody have this memorized, John 3:16? Who's got it? Anybody have a quote? They can quote it for me. John 3:16. Anybody remember that? It's brave enough to say it. We're going to read it here. But John 3:16, and not just John 3:16. And I'm backing up to John 3:14, and it says, "And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." Now, isn't this, God always asking you just for faith in him. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world." God's faithfulness and his love for this world is amazing. It's just, there's no words that can describe it. "That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's faithfulness is so strong. It is his character to be faithful to his people. He's faithful for an opportunity the world to turn to him. He's faithful to his word. It says that he is there, and he looks after his word to make sure that it performs what it's set out to accomplish. Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." You know, this is so important, because I love verse 17 and 18, because we read John 3:16, which is so valuable, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn." God's, you know, again, we've got a twisted mentality that Jesus came and the sinners are going to be condemned. That's his whole job, was just to condemn the sinners, and if you don't accept him, you're in trouble. No, Jesus' purpose was not to come here to condemn the world, was it? To beat everybody up. But, we read on here, "but that the world through him might be saved." Extending his hand of salvation and extending his hand of, like Mr. Gary was talking about, extending his hand of faithfulness to us. In verse 18, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So really we see the world has already, they've condemned themselves. Jesus has not condemned them. The world has condemned themselves, but Jesus provides a way out, doesn't he? He provides a way out of this world's system, of this world's condemnation, and he set us free. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.